When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Coney, guess what?
What up?
Joining K100 as a sponsor is a product I know that I'm going to love, and that's Focus with a pH. It's sparkling water with a spark. Focus is a delicious, health-conscious, thoughtfully caffeinated sparkling water. Infused with the boost of natural tea, caffeine, and the balance of L-theanine, you get the clean energy you want without the sugar, calories, or crash. Simply made with a boost, balance, and bubbles, this has zero calories, zero sugars, zero sweeteners. It's totally non-GMO, so ditch your sugary sodas or energy drinks that are overloaded with sugar and ingredients that you don't know what they are or how to pronounce. It's got natural caffeine derived from tea that gives you the same boost as an 8-ounce cup of coffee in a refreshing, thirst-quenching form, perfect for pre-workout. L-theanine, the secret hero of greeting, balances and mellows the brain-boosting benefits of caffeine, so you stay alert and focused without the stress or jitters. And your body needs water, and that doesn't mean it has to be boring. Or reverse osmosis is lightly infused with crisp carbonation to refresh and hydrate without sugar or guilt. There's a wide range of flavors. You got blood orange, mixed berry, cherry cola, crisp apple, root beer, grapefruit, yuzu and lime, cucumber and peach. Support K100 and check out this delicious market-changing beverage at www.drinkfocus.com. That's drinkfocus.com. And use our code, KEEPINIT, that's KEEPINIT, for 20% off of the order. There is also a show-specific link in our show notes, and just another way for Focus to show we sent you their way.
Yeah, and the great thing about this, bro, is
I already received mine, and the great thing is, like they said, it is clean energy. You don't get the jitters. You know, I've been staying off the sugary drinks and the energy drinks because they're really bad for you. And I really like the mixed berry. Big fan of the root beer. I want to try the yuzu and lime, but it's, it's really good. It picks you up the whole day, and you don't crash. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, great pre-workout.
Yeah, make sure that you get your sparkling water at Focus. Boom.
I want to know if you considered yourself a booker or a writer. We've talked to Vince Russo. There is a difference. We've talked to Bruce Pritchard. There is a difference. Jim Cornette definitely thinks there's a difference. What is the difference, and who are you?
If you talk to like Hollywood people, they have the think tanks. People will get together in a room, just creative thinkers. And they will just, you know, come up with thought ideas, creative ideas and stuff. I don't consider myself a booker or a writer because I never put pen to paper. The term booker is always kind of like been given the guy that's in charge of, you know, the written production or the guy that's in charge of the show. I just always consider myself as like the an idea guy, a creative idea guy that you stick in the room that either comes up with the idea, helps the idea flow, just like the creative thinker. Mm-hmm. That's, I wouldn't see, so I never said like I, by the way wrestling defines it, I guess I've been a booker, I've been a writer, but like I never thought of myself like that. I'm just an idea guy that just has been in booking committees.
What about the qualities of somebody who you'd consider a good idea guy or booker or writer? What do you need to have to be on a creative team?
To me, it's so simplistic. Ideas. Regardless of whether they're good, they're bad, or whatever they are. If you have ideas, creative ideas, new ideas, things that haven't been done, that's all you really need. One of my mantras, when we would sit in the booking meetings, I'd say, one of the cameramen, we'd sit there, shooting the shit, and he would. Can I use foul language?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, so he'd give an idea. I'd throw it in the meeting, I've never been. I don't think the creative process. You can be egotistical because a good idea is a good idea, no matter where it comes from. If you want to use a good idea, who cares who came up with it? You're trying to produce a television show that is entertaining. So whoever comes up with an entertaining idea or has entertaining ideas, that's the qualities that you need, because anybody can watch a wrestling show and see what they saw and book the same way with different characters. You know, the heel wrestles the baby face, the other heel comes out, distracts the baby face, the heel rolls them up, mm-hmm. or something. Anybody can think of stuff like that. But to think of stories,
right.
Creative characteristics, character development, taking the character and what would he do in this situation, like a lot of guys, they don't know what their character would do. You can get inside their head, what would you do if you were their character, and give them qualities that, that they would show on the show. And anybody can do that if you have good ideas, or any ideas.
What was another angle? You mentioned before, you teased that there was stuff that you and Vince had come up with that nobody even heard about. That.
Oh, we would always come up with characters that we wanted. We wanted to start doing the. This is in TNA. We needed the confused promoter. We wanted to try to do if you look at the nobody really watched these because they were weekly pay per views, but circa 2003 TNA, we were doing the Sports Entertainment Extreme angle with Jeff Jarrett, the SEX, stuff like that. If you watch those shows, those are kind of they weren't bad shows content-wise. There was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of outside the box things. Well, back then, that's when we wanted to do the we wanted to try to find a confused promoter gimmick, and we couldn't convince Jeff of it. But we want to start getting some of our crazy characters on the show.
Like
Wings Piedmont, the evil pilot. Who would also have been Simon Diamond, Pat Kenny. Actually, we had him pegged for Wings Piedmont, the evil pilot. We also had an idea for... Then you gotta understand, we're far more politically correct today than we used to be. Like over the course of the past 2 years, political correctness in the United States has taken an unbelievable, you know, gotten ridiculous momentum. Okay.
Okay.
So seemingly overnight, it seems like, right? Well, I don't think that our 300-pound our 300-pound Hasidic Jewish tag team, the Jew Tang Clan, would have gotten over quite as well today as it would have been back in the day. But we had an idea for, you know, like the Samoans always had big guys, you know, stuff like that. Like, we wanted two guys like that size.
Big Jews.
Big Jews, the Jew Tang Clan, and they would be
full
payas.
Yeah.
The yarmulke.
How's it stay under in the match? You clip it.
The yarmulke, but they would kind of be thugged out a little bit in the like the white shirts would be baggy, you know, stuff. Maybe have like, you know, so, but like the Jew Tang Clan.
Was there a finisher discussed?
I don't think we got that far.
Okay.
I don't think that, but if the but one of the I think one of the first characters that Vince wrote that he wanted to, like, because when TNA first started, I'm not sure if I was writing for the very first shows, but one of the characters he wanted was the one of two guys dressed in just like full like rubber like giant condoms, okay, two giant like condom outfits, right? And they were going to be the Johnsons, all right, but they were going to have to be, they were going to be managed by Balls Mahoney, yeah. So it's going to be the Johnsons with balls.
With balls.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
We be jumping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Just act like you know, and
won't
stop rocking.
If you stop it, I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up and the feet up, greased up in some dickies.
This week on K100 Rehash. It's the first ever appearance of Conrad Thompson on K100, and oh boy, what a difference 200 episodes can make. So check it out as Conan and Disco meet Conrad for the first time and go over how he got into wrestling and podcasting, his friendship with Ric Flair and co-hosting his podcast, meeting Bruce Pritchard and convincing him to do a show, and the arguments they've had, the huge popularity Something to Wrestle With gained, as well as the podcast awards that it won. Plus the changes in wrestling fans through the generations. Conrad covers Bruce Pritchard's original K-Dog story, Paul Heyman taking a limo from his parents' house, the at-the-time new Tony Schiavone podcast, What Happened When, and his extreme fandom of the Disco Inferno. Plus an intro segment covers potential backyard wrestling events at Conan's house, Brian Christopher stories, and a few mailbag questions including, do I only select emails that put me over? And finally, from episode 66, it's an edition of the world-infamous Disco List. I want to thank everyone for listening and supporting K100. Please check us out at patreon.com/Conan or conan.me for show reviews, roundtables, the ability to talk wrestling or whatever else with Conan and DI, music segments, video interviews, and audio that was cut from the show, as well as much more. Please check out the YouTube channel under Keeping It 100 Official. Husey runs that. You're going to get daily clips over there every day and a whole lot of conversation. And you can also check out the show's new TikTok at K100 Podcast. If you're a TikTok user, get on there and follow it. JJ Claxton is putting up humorous clips almost on a daily basis. That's about it. Thank you very much for checking out this episode of Rehash. There's going to be another one following shortly, as I did miss last week. But don't worry, I'm going to make up for it.
Very nice. Oh, wait a minute. Wait one fucking minute.
Why don't you run a show? You still live in the same house, right?
Right.
Why don't you run a show in your backyard? You got a big backyard.
Tremendous.
You've never seen Conan's backyard. Conan has a sizable backyard that, let's be honest, if you put a wrestling ring back there in the backyard, how many people do you think you could draw?
Oh, bro, the whole neighborhood.
No, but easily, no. You'd easily draw like as many people like you put in like an armory somewhere. Easily. Would you agree with that?
What do you think you could
get? You could get 1,000 people back there to watch a show, I bet.
1,000?
Yeah, but.
No shit.
I'm not going to run a wrestling show in my backyard, bro. This guy's too much.
But if you do that, you could just get a bunch of backyard wrestlers and just have like two names, and you can run it on the cheap.
And have KG commentate.
KG commentary. You could have, you fly in JoJo and have him sit at the fence and take the money out of him. People coming through the gate.
No, I was a backyard wrestler. I could come out of retirement.
Were you really?
Oh, of course I was.
You wrestled literally in backyards.
Yeah, yeah. Back.
Do you have any
driveways?
Film of this?
I do. My friend has them. Yeah, two or three tapes. Yeah.
What was your name for backyard wrestling?
Crazy Eddie.
Crazy Eddie.
Wow, you put a lot of thought into that.
There was a guy in Philly.
Why Eddie and not Joe?
I don't know. There was an ad in Philly. It was this guy that was always like that Crazy Eddie sales, and he was like a car salesman or something, I think, and it just stuck in my head, and that's what I wound up using. I mean, it was funny. We taped it. We had people come watch us and stuff, and yeah, we used to have a good time.
Conan, did ever tell the story about Brian Christopher when he used to have the backyard wrestling league when he was growing up?
No.
So his buddy Tony Williams that he grew up with that they eventually were called the New Kids.
Quick question: when was the last time you saw him?
Brian Christopher, has been a while.
Okay, one of the most entertaining guys in the business, right?
Yeah, we should get him on. We should try and find him and get him on the show.
Yeah, he's
great. He'd be a great get.
Yeah.
And we're like two of the only people that he likes. You know, he didn't really like a lot of people.
No, he doesn't.
Right? So he's like us. You know, and we used to like him. Not a lot of people liked him either.
Nobody liked him. And the first time I met him, I used your name as a reference, and he buried you. I was like, "What a heel!" I go, "You're friends with Disco." He was like, "Yeah, big deal. I don't care."
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I was like, wait a minute. He said to tell you hi when I met you. He goes, tell him the fuck off, you know? And I was like, wow, this guy's an uber heel. But he's absolutely hilarious.
Yes. But him and Tony Williams, when they would wrestle in their backyard.
JoJo, you there?
Yeah, we lost you for about 3-4 seconds there, Disco.
Who, me? Oh,
yes.
I don't know why. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. But they used to, their tag team in the Backyard Wrestling League, him and Tony Williams' his partner, they called themselves the Do Some Stuff Express.
Tremendous.
That's great.
Do Some Stuff. To the point that I thought that name was so entertaining that one year in my fantasy football league, I've been doing my fantasy football for like 33 years.
Right.
One year I named my team the Do Some Stuff Express.
That's awesome. Bro, and remember when he was
like, say, let's do some stuff.
Remember when he was first PG-13, he would come out with the big chain and the hubcap?
Was that him? No, that was Woofy D and what's his name?
Jamie Dundee. No, I think you mean
Jamie Dundee.
Oh,
yeah.
Jamie Dundee. My bad.
He did Too Cool.
Yeah.
I know.
Which was kind of a ripoff of PG-13.
Yeah. And they're all from the same area too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got some letters here. Can I read them, D.I.?
Absolutely.
Okay, the first guy, and the reason I'm reading this one is you get double points if you're sending stuff from out of the country. It's William Gache from Kenya.
Wow.
Big ups to my number one podcast besides Killing the Town. Do I need to kazoo that, D.I.?
Yes.
And Cole Cabanas. I have been listening and been a fan since day one. I had never heard of Disco and the OG Kevin Gill up until this podcast. I hated Disco because of the arguments, but got to like him. Please kazoo me for that. I liked, let me see. Conan, I used to hate you back in the day. Oh, my gosh. Big up to JoJo, the producer. Boom.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait, kazoo that.
Yes, definitely. And because JoJo picks these letters, okay?
Right. He's very. You notice every letter that he sends us,
complimentary of him.
100%.
I swear.
He sends us what now?
If you guys want the password to this email, you can have it. I forward everything that comes in that's not like complete garbage. You know what I mean? But it doesn't have. I don't select based.
It's
very bizarre that we're sending
you,
these things. There's always like one little sentence putting you over. And I don't know why anybody's putting you over because you're on the list.
That's true.
Hey, you. what to him constitutes garbage, mm-hmm. anything that isn't putting him over.
Yeah, I have to see my name other than that.
All right. Okay, here's another one, bro. Here's another one. This is from Reina Eduardo, okay? He goes, what up, KD? What up, K-Dog, D.I., and JoJo? All right? How has FSW not booked Godfather versus Disco and Champagne Room Deathmatch? Seems like easy money, and I'm sure Cheetahs and Sapphires could sponsor the match and send some talent. I smell money. And again, he puts JoJo over. He goes, please replace JoJo and KG's roles on the show. KG seems more like a below-the-line talent, and JoJo is the man.
And that surprisingly ended up in our inbox.
Oh, man. Crazy.
That says, yeah. I mean,
I don't even know what this means. At the end, he goes, P.S., can you let Conan know that Steve Bannon is a Catholic and pro-Israel? Two things that the KKK hates.
Whatever. Okay. I always said, I got these guys on Twitter that constantly post me political stuff, like kind of like to think that's like a stuff like fuel for the show, right? You know, like stuff and all that. And I'm like, you know, just guys, just to be honest, you can continue doing that, but I'm not going to use this stuff. All right.
Okay. This guy's name is Bunge Spob. Okay.
Instead of SpongeBob, he's Bunge Spob.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, the whole tweet is just basically bearing KG, all right? But here we go again. At the end, he goes, JoJo is such a wonderful producer. You give him 3 days and he will get the show prepared and still have time to play with his chatterbait models. You could learn a thing or two, Kevin. It's called being a professional. Jesus. So what do you have to say to that, JoJo?
Wow. I mean, I'm appreciative of all the kind words.
Is there the possibility, does the possibility exist that these emails are going into Kevin's inbox? Kevin is forwarding the email back to us, but right. He is going into those emails and editing in these positive comments about himself.
Oh, you mean,
it's a possibility.
I think you can tell if somebody does that.
All right. Here's the next letter. Well, I wonder if there'll be a mention about JoJo, Disco. What do you think?
Probably 100%.
Okay. Here's the subject. Hey, yo, JoJo. That's in the subject, Disco.
Right?
You know who this is, though? This is our frequent contributor, James Nichols, though. He's been on here several times.
Okay.
So he says, so KG thinks 911 was an inside job. I'm curious to hear about his stance on the lizard people that secretly run the world. He goes, as much as I can't stand you, I do have to agree with you on something. Stevie Ray was one of your best guests on the show. Bring him and Vince Russo on sometime, and that would be a glorious clusterfuck. Disco, I really appreciate your take on both this show and Vince Russo's show. You bring logic and reason to help KG and Vince in check. Oh, today he tried to do it to me. My question is, I have some friends coming to Vegas, and I told them about the great deal with the limo and all, but what really sold the deal was amazing hand jobs you give away from 3 to 5 in the morning. He has a question. When will the Rompope hand job be back in season? That's bullshit. Nothing?
Think I'm going to respond to that?
Okay, all right, all right, okay. All right. And he adds, they are huge eggnog fans. And at the end, as if it wasn't enough that we got Hey Yo JoJo in the subject thing, it says, JoJo's a magnificent producer. Okay, sorry if that ran a little long. All of you do a great job when it all comes down to it. Thank you, James. All right. We got one last letter.
Okay. I mean, all the listeners we have in the show, and these are you're forwarding all the letters?
Yeah.
These are the schmucks that are responding to the
only, the only time I honestly Jesus don't forward Christ. Something is if it's like completely like illegible or just, you know what I mean? Like
I'd like to see some of those though.
I
want to see the ones that are like, you know, complete gibberish.
Right.
Yeah.
They might
you
be funny.
Because those are the ones that like you can tell those fans are like those are Conan's fans.
Okay.
You know?
Let me see. This guy, he just basically buries KG, but I'll just read the first line. This guy's name, it says, "What's up, K-Dog and Disco and the rest of the crew? This is Tyler from Chicago. Ricky Hustle's best friend." Whoa. Kazoo or no?
Yes.
"And longtime Conan fan as far back as the WrestleZone show." All right. So those were the letters.
That's the letter? That's it?
Yep. Those are the five
letters. The guy sent a letter in to let us know that he's Ricky Hustle's best friend.
Oh, no. The rest of it was just Baron KG. So, yeah. Okay. So I just read the first line.
Ricky Hustle's friend buried KG?
Yeah.
Let me read what he said.
Okay.
Let me hear it.
All right. I'm getting it.
So Ricky Hustle's best friend buried KG.
Yeah.
Right.
I got it. I got it open here. You want me to read it?
Go ahead. Read it.
This is, "I've never been a KG hater. I even sat next to him at a Ring of Honor show. But when he started crying because his commentary was being criticized, I ran to Dollar Tree and I bought a kazoo. I watched Triple Mania, and if his lack of product knowledge was a hindrance to him, he could have made up for that by having some enthusiasm in reacting to what was happening in the ring. But it was a verbal equivalent to Nia Jax walking to the ring to check her mail. My theory is the AAA offices said, 'Hey, Vamp, get that Kevin guy from the Conan show. He knows a lot about Lucha.' And they wanted Kleinrock, but they got Gil. Thanks for all the free entertainment, guys. Arriba La Raza, Tyler from Chicago."
That's actually pretty funny. Yeah. That's actually pretty funny.
They wanted Kleinrock.
Kevin from the Conan show to do commentary, and they mistook Gil for Kleinrock.
Right. Sounds like when Johnny Ace got the wrong one-legged guy when they were looking for Zach Gowen.
Isn't that absolutely fascinating?
Yeah,
it
is.
They can make a mistake like that.
Yeah, right.
How many one-legged guys are out there? Right. You know,
it's almost like the time when, remember that, and you were there for this because we laughed about it, that carry spot where they did that big bucket of paint over on Nash, the red paint, and it missed him, and he was like only in WCW.
Yeah, and it hit the crowd, didn't it?
Yeah, it just splattered and like hit the ring and then splashed into the crowd.
Oh, man.
Right. You copy something that got over in WWE so wonderfully, and right, then you just mess it up. It was incredible.
Yeah, but you know what the main difference was? When they did it in the WWF, it was the bloodbath, it was the brood. They would dump the blood and the guy would get pissed off, like Al Snow. He'd come out the next week with the blood still on him. It'd be driving him nuts. But in WCW, if you got hit with this blood, you were unconscious. And it did, I don't know, it just didn't seem like it made any sense. Like,
the best one ever was the one that they did where Steve Austin was just sitting down and was dripping on his bald head over his face.
Right. It's good visual.
Yo, this has been the intro. Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
We got an old friend returning to the show.
Who's that?
Returning to K100 and Rehash is a favorite of ours, and definitely the listener. And it's the high-quality monthly men's skincare system. Teej Hanley is back.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Teej Hanley can help you start and maintain your skincare routine by making the entire process uncomplicated. It's the best skincare system I've ever used. Totally uncomplicated and makes your skin feel fresh. It's the perfect skincare system for everyday guys. And I recommend you start with their level one system, which comes with all the basics. A daily face wash to get rid of the dirt and grime in your skin. That's one. Number two, it's got a 2 times per week exfoliating scrub to get rid of dead skin cells. It's a very important one. An AM moisturizer. It's got SPF 20 because you should always be protecting your skin from the sun. And it's got a PM moisturizer to help your skin stay hydrated and healthy throughout the night. You want your skin soft at the night and hydrated and moist so you don't develop the wrinkles. So my favorite part about Teej Hanley is that every box comes with an instruction card that tells you when to use each product, how much to use, and in what order. It's very simplistic. They really make the process of achieving and maintaining easy, amazingly easy. We've all used their products for a long time now, and I'm hooked.
Incredible, bro. I never used to really take care of or give a shit about what my skin looked like, but ever since I've been using this, the moisturizer, because my hands were getting dry all the time, put the moisturizer on there, feels fresh, looks fresh. My skin looks different.
Because T. Chanley is sponsored today's show, they're offering our viewers a great deal. Just click the link in the show notes or go to Teej.com/K100. That's Teej.com/K100. And not only do you get Teej Chanley for the best possible price, but they'll also give you a free gift with your first box. So just head over to Teej.com/K100 and get started for just $25.
Take care of your skin. Get your Teej Chanley products. Boom.
In Alabama, you don't have a choice. You know, when you're growing up around here, it's what's your name, where are you from, who do you pull for? Answers are Alabama or Auburn.
Right.
Let me shoot you this name. See if you remember this name. Do you remember a guy, and this guy's from like the 70s, 80s. Do you remember a guy called Bob Baumhauer?
Oh, dude, he is the man around here. He's got the best wings around. All over Alabama, there are wing shops with Bob.
Do you know him?
I don't know him personally. I've met him once before, but he started in Tuscaloosa with his wing shop, and he's got the busiest sports bar in Huntsville now, and he's got them in Birmingham, Mobile, all over the state. Bob Baumhauer is the man for chicken.
Let me tell you a quick story. So I used to work at the Orange Bowl when I was young, just so I could see the football games. And I met Bob Baumhauer, and we became friends, and he used to give me tickets to all the games, and he had like a restaurant in Fort Lauderdale back in the day. One of the nicest, coolest guys I'd ever met. You know, super cool dude and a great player.
He's still doing big business around here. His name is Golden, and it's hard to even get a table in his spot. And it's just, you know, chicken wings, but he does it right.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question, because we've never met. Have you ever met Disco?
No, I've never met Disco, but I've been to his adult establishment. And of course, I went to WCW shows back in the day, but no, I've never met anybody on the line.
You've been to Sapphire?
Yeah, I saw the Super Bowl out there when the Patriots won at the very last minute a couple years ago.
Tell people how great it is watching football at that the Super Bowl for our club. Because
it is the best Super Bowl experience I've ever had by far.
Yeah, it's great. When we do the Super Bowl, the club's packed. We got buffets all over the place with good food. And we do dollar dances at halftime. So it's like, and plus the sound system's unbelievable. Like we got in the showroom, we have these big giant projection screen TVs. It's great sound. It's just a great place. Like we're gonna be packed for the Mayweather McGregor fight too.
Hey, like, Conrad, did you get one of those special offers that Disco does for fans and listeners?
I got a special offer upstairs, but I don't think we can talk about that.
And this,
so let me Disco's ask you, department.
So let me ask you a question, Conrad. What for the people that you know, don't know you, I don't know your background. What is your background and how did you get into wrestling? And was your first job with Ric Flair and his podcast?
Yeah, you know, I'm just a fan. I've grown up a big fan. The first time I remember watching wrestling was 88, WrestleMania 4 on VHS. We went out of town to visit my grandfather. Back then, people would hit the video store and rent stuff, and they wanted something to keep me occupied. And WrestleMania 4 was the first double tape. So they thought, well, hey, that'll keep him busy. So they got me a couple of wrestling tapes for WrestleMania 4, and I was hooked. You know, I was infatuated with Macho Man and Hulk Hogan and this bigger-than-life world. And I became a super fan for a long time, and then, like a lot of wrestling fans, kind of lost interest in the mid-90s, flipping through the channels in 96, see Hogan in all black and think, what the hell is this? So I'm pulled back in. And then, of course, I got in the mortgage business in 2001 and moved to Huntsville, and I've just been here ever since. And somewhere along the way, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, eventually I meet Ric Flair, and he had just lost his son Reed and moved from North Carolina to Atlanta. He didn't have a lot of friends in Atlanta besides Brad Nessler, so we would get together at the bar and watch football games, and he was looking for a friend at a time when I thought it was cool as shit to be hanging out with Ric Flair. So he eventually became aware that I promote my mortgage company on the radio, and he asked me to sit in with him for his first podcast when he had an opportunity to do one for CBS. So I sat in on the first one. It went well. He asked me to keep coming back, and here we are.
Quick question. So sit in, did you guys do it in a studio?
We did it in a studio in downtown Atlanta from the very beginning anyway. CBS has a unit, a cluster of stations in downtown Atlanta off Peachtree. So we would go up there. Joseph was our engineer. He was the man. Made it sound good. And then eventually you know, you could tell from listening to the shows, Rick kind of lost interest. It wasn't as fun as maybe it once was. And from there, we
let me ask you
together.
A question. Conrad, would you say he was drunk in every show? I heard like two shows, and he sounded like he was drunk.
He did. We did imbibe one day when somebody canceled on us. I think it was – oh, it was the Kevin Sullivan show, which was hilarious.
Oh, that show. Yeah, that's the one I heard.
We had originally planned to do it that day with somebody else, and they had to cancel at the last minute. I think it was JJ. There was some sort of flight delay situation or something. So we're in downtown Atlanta with now nothing to do. And so he said, well, let's just go to the bar, of course. So we go to the bar and eat lunch. And then we get a text from Kevin that says, hey, if you guys still need somebody to come on, I can do it. So since we're here, we thought, well, here we go. And maybe wasn't the best time to hit record, but we had a lot of fun and people dug it. So
it was good.
It's out there.
Why was he always burying me on the show?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do think that it was probably a situation where he was unhappy with his spot on the roster once Hogan was there and then Macho came in. And it felt like instead of Hogan working with Macho, they had Flair do it. So Flair probably felt like he was on job duty, so to speak, having to do a program with Hogan where he never won, and then a program with Savage where he never won. And then he kind of got what he felt like at the time was a consolation prize with the U.S. title. So I'm sure he's right. A little bitter about that, more so than, you know, having to work with you. It was, why am I working in a U.S. title match on pay-per-view? I was the pay-per-view main event for a decade.
Let me tell you, I got a funny story for you too, Conrad. Did you know that this is back in like 96, 97, that when Raven started doing The Flock, right? And he had Perry Saturn and stuff with him. Bro, Flair, like, had a thing for guys. Like, he was like, man, I just don't know about all these guys, all these tattoos. Like this is back in, like, early, you know, Conan had a lot of tattoos. Rey Mysterio had a lot of tattoos. Saturn, Raven, just, like, all these guys. But Flair was, like, he was kind of old school, you know, three-piece suit guy. And he was like, man, I don't know if this is, like, a good look for all these guys with all these tattoos and stuff.
Well, that still exists today. Right. Even when Reed passed away, the whole family got matching tattoos for Reed. And I mean all of them, brothers, sisters, the whole deal. And Rick didn't get one because Rick's just anti-tattoo. So,
all right. Yeah,
that's just – he's old school like that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It's almost like in Mexico. When I first got there, Conrad, like one of the only guys that had tattoos was Vampiro. And they looked at him in a negative fashion because in Mexico, the only guys that would have a tattoo would be somebody from prison, you know?
Right.
And now you look in 2007, you know, everybody has tattoos and piercings and, you know, all sorts of weird stuff. It's just weird how people's mindsets change through the generations. You know what I'm saying?
Well, not just with that. Look at beards. You know, once upon a time, if you had a really long beard, I mean, you were like part of the subculture. And now it's kind of cool to have a beard.
Right.
And maybe we're on the downswing of that. But still, you know, that was once upon a time like this weird thing. And now everybody's got piercings, tattoos, and beards. That's the end thing.
Yeah. Right. And so how did you end up with Bruce?
So when you meet Ric Flair, you eventually meet everybody. And one of the people I had an opportunity to meet was Bruce Pritchard. And so one day I'm picking his brain once he knew that, you know, I was cool and I wasn't going to go run post everything on the internet. He told me, and I would say, hey, man, what happened when? And he would fire off something that I didn't think I would be that interested in. And it was awesome. So eventually I wore him down and convinced them to do a podcast, and we taped a couple just as a practice run, and then reached out to Court, and I said, hey, I got a good idea. I know that Brother Love is a bigger name than Bruce Pritchard, but Bruce Pritchard was on the Inner Circle for a lot of cool stuff. I think we can put together a cool show.
Right.
And to my surprise, people dug it, man. It caught on by word of mouth, and somehow, some way, it's still growing. So I appreciate everybody taking a chance on Brother Love and the Mortgage Guy.
Conrad, have you been surprised by not just how successful the show with Bruce Pritchard is, but also how successful your live events business has gotten?
It's a little crazy. You know, we thought it would do okay, but I don't think anybody imagined it would be as big as it has. And, you know, when we first started with Court, he thought, you know, hey, if you guys could get to 20 or 30,000 listens a week, that would be big. And, you know, once we did the Radicals episode, it kind of took off for us. And of course, the TNA one leveled us up to another level. But yeah, it is overwhelming. And the idea that people wanted a live show to begin with was kind of like a joke to us. Like, what do you mean you want to see a live podcast? How would we even do that? That doesn't even make any sense to us. But eventually, a promoter talked us into it in Orlando, and we sold it out so fast, I thought, hey, Bruce, I'm not allergic to money. Let's figure out how to do this. So we have, and people seem to be digging it.
So, like the show you did in Philly, Was that a podcast or just like a question and answer session? And so, I think my producer JoJo went to it. Didn't you go, JoJo?
Yes, I was. I was there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we don't tape it for release on a podcast, but we do it kind of podcast format where it's me throwing to Bruce and him doing impressions. Except we do have some visual aids. We normally never have a guest on the show, but we do for the live show. So we'll have guests, and then we do a little question and answer at the end. But we try to talk about the stuff on the live show that you can't really get on the podcast, stuff that Bruce probably doesn't want to air publicly,
right.
You know, rat stories or drug stories or whatever. And,
right.
and people really get a kick out of that, of us taking it to another level. So the result is it becomes the most foul 2 hours in the history of microphone work.
Isn't it funny that, like, you know, wrestling is kind of like there's a – like the wrestling audience is different than it was, like, that we grew up with. That, like, there is this – but basically kind of like a subculture of wrestling,
yep,
fans that like wrestling kind of – if you look at the kind of like wrestling too much, that – but there's a market for like people like that that will actually come and watch a live podcast. And you can make some pretty good coin off it. It's,
well, to
it's
a
really
person,
incredible
to a person that
age,
likes
but,
something, it's never too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's exactly it. You know, Meltzer writes all the time that the wrestling audience may be smaller than ever, but that the people who are there are more loyal than ever, and they're more willing to spend than ever.
Way more,
has proven to be true.
Way more interested in them. Like, they'll watch, like, the wrestling fan today is a wrestling fan of, like, everything. Kind of,
yes,
you know, like, so it's like, it didn't used to be like that. You know, we kind
of
lost the audience, yeah, but the crowd that is engaged today is, like, you can discuss a lot of things with them involved, you know? So it's like, they're smarter, and they like wrestling. I say that people don't like wrestling too much is the way I like to call it. But that's not a bad thing for the wrestling business, you know?
Yeah. So Conrad, one of the things, that I thought was funny is, I would always see people tweeting that if you felt Bruce was bullshitting you, you'd call him out on it. Did you have a couple, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes our show more fun maybe than the traditional, because there's lots of times where there's a co-host who's not in the business, and he's
right,
essentially, you know, not even really there. And I was that guy on the Ric Flair show. I thought people were listening to the Ric Flair show to hear him, and I'm just
right,
going to keep us on track. So when Rick gets on a tangent like he does, I'll pull us back towards center and keep the show moving. But I'm
right,
just going to lay out and stay out of the way. But with Bruce and I wanted to kind of structure it as, here's what we, myself included, smart marks, have been led to believe this whole time. Now you tell us what really happened. And when he bullshits me, not just be like a lot of shoot interview guys who just laugh it off and then go to the next question. No, I'm going to make him defend it and stand on it. And eventually he loosened up to that, and it became a pretty fun show. So, and it helps that we're friends in real life. So it's okay for me to say, stop lying, motherfucker. That's not what really happened. And
right,
in a traditional setting, you know, you could never do that. But because he knows I'm your friend and I'm not going to put you in a bad spot here, but help me out here, you're bullshitting, the audience respects that and digs it.
You know,
right,
if I could interject real quick, Conan, one of the first times I heard Bruce get called out on his Conan story, like he didn't know who was calling the office and who's K-Dog and stuff.
Right.
The first time I heard it called out was when Conrad called him out on it. Like, who could you not know who Conan was? On one of the – might have been the Radicals episode, actually, Conrad. So Conrad was the first one to call him,
yeah,
out on that publicly.
Yeah,
well, because it's laughable. Even if you're not a fan of Mexican wrestling, you at least know his name, and you know that he's often referred to as – the Hulk Hogan of Lucha Libre. And, you know, so even if you're just like the most casual fan, you've heard the name, you know who it is.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's hard for you to deny when you're like in the inner circle of the biggest circle of wrestling. You don't know. Come on. You know who Reckless Youth is? And you don't know who Conan is?
Plus,
like, come on.
Plus, Conan has always disputed the idea that Conan called up and said, yo, this is K-Dog.
Right.
Yeah. Well, bro, come on. Conrad, like, I'm going to call you and cut a promo when I'm trying to have casual conversation. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to call WWE and be like, yo, what's up and all that. You know, I'm going to be like, hey, Bruce. And anyways, he knew me because when he was Brother Love, I was there as Max Moon. And we used to talk, so he knew who I was, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But it was funny because I think he said it. I didn't hear that show, by the way, but somebody told me that I think he said that Eddie was asking, really, you hung up on Conan? You know, oh no, you told Conan to send you a tape, because Eddie thought it was hilarious.
Sure.
Yeah. So one thing, when I was at TNA, he was showing me the numbers that you guys have been getting, which have been incredible numbers. And plus, he was real happy because, and fill me in on this, you guys were like nominated for some award or podcasting award or something like that.
Yeah, apparently there is an Academy of Podcasts, sort of like, you know, the Emmys or the Academy Award or whatever. And I can't believe that's a thing. But they nominated us for Sports Podcast of the Year. And everything else in there is related to football, baseball, or basketball. So the idea that, you know, pro wrestling has someone nominated for that, we're pretty proud of. I don't think there's a chance in hell we win. You know, one of the more mainstream sports will win. But we're working our ass off on the show every week, and it's cool to even be acknowledged. But I guess we're on their radar somehow because they actually have us coming in to speak on kind of breaking the rules of podcasting, because our podcast does everything you're not supposed to do. We go long, we cuss, we don't have guests. You know, we sell ads directly, we sell T-shirts, we do live shows. All that in the real world of podcasting is considered taboo and just stuff you don't do. And I'm like, well, who gives a shit? If our audience likes it, let's do it.
Right. Which is funny because I remember like almost all our podcasts are 3 hours, and I was always being told, and this was a discussion I had many times with KG, but anyways, it was like, you shouldn't go over an hour and a half. And in podcast one, they told me not to go over 45 minutes, you know, and then I saw your show. I read how long it was going and go, well, bro, they're going 3 hours and they're doing good. What's the problem? If something's good, it's good. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think part of that is because the people who sell advertising for podcasts are told that the tune out factor, you know, goes way, way down after 40 minutes. And so if you want to maximize your time as far as selling ads and generating revenue, you need to keep it short because people tune it out. And I'm like, dude, there's no way somebody's going to listen to us talk about, you know, the dark matches and the opening match at WrestleMania 13, and they're not going to stick around to the main event. They're fucking listening to the whole thing. I'm putting ads all the way through.
Right. Well, bro, I want to congratulate you guys. You know, I talked with Bruce for a while over there in TNA, and you guys are doing great things, and you're opening up the doors for a lot of us. But let me ask you before you get out of here, tell me a story that you heard Bruce tell you that you never knew before, and it kind of like, wow, it made you look at that particular situation in a different light.
Man, he basically ruined Christmas for me this past weekend. It was the Saturday before the show. We're in Philadelphia, and he's telling me a Paul Heyman story.
Right.
And it blew my mind that Paul Heyman lived with his mom and dad until like 03 or 04. And I know that a lot of wrestling fans say, well, what's the big deal? But to me, the idea that all these guys were in the business and were told, you know, we're going to be number two and we're on pay-per-view and we've got action figures and we've got magazines and I've got a national TV deal and blah, 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 blah. And all of that was being orchestrated by a guy who still lived in his parents' bedroom was like, what? How is that?
Well, that's hard. I mean, to be fair to Paul Heyman, though, to be fair to Paul Heyman, though, I don't think he lived in his parents' bedroom.
Well, he had a room in his parents' house, you slapdick. Come on now. What I'm saying is,
he's probably wearing a Paul Heyman shirt as he speaks.
Yes, yeah, right, yeah.
I am a huge Paul Heyman fan, but the idea that Vince McMahon rolls up at your house to pick you up in a limousine in front of your fucking parents' house like it's prom night in your junior year is a little surreal to me. Like,
the mom's out coming on the doorstep with the robe waving goodbye.
Yeah, and they got to pose for pictures, and Vince pins the flower on Paul's lapel.
The mother's got the pink robe on.
Don't forget your lunch. And she brings him the little bag.
Cooking, right? Yeah. The food's cooking on the stove, right?
You know, on the one hand, I think it's very commendable that he was trying to keep his expenses low and he really was putting all the money into the company and yada, yada, yada. But on the other hand, it makes me think, did all of the boys know this? And did they really feel like their livelihood was safe with a guy who lived with his parents? And so when he's given the old, hey, just take off the last three numbers on the FedEx tracking number, that's the right number. That whole rubber check situation and jacking guys around on their money, and they would go confront him at his mom's house? It's like, at some point, I'm like, fuck, man, I got to get a real job. I can't do this anymore.
Conrad does another show with Tony Schiavone on Mondays, What at When Mondays, which is all WCW related. And from what I've heard, Conrad, is it true or false that Tony is quite a big Disco Inferno fan?
Yeah, absolutely. We've both put over Disco. We both think there could have been more done. He got it over. You know, we're big fans. Tony is not a big fan. of the Mexican style wrestling or masks. So
he's how does Tony feel about women's wrestling?
He loves it. He wishes that every match was a women's match or had Rey Mysterio without the mask or Tom Zink.
So Tony's the one guy on the planet who prefers Rey without the mask.
Yes, he is the one guy, and he said he's a damn good looking man. They shouldn't have covered that up, which I thought is hilarious.
Well, he's a merchandising bonanza. That's why he still has that mask. So, so how's that show doing?
Oh, it's doing really well, man. You know, it's not nearly the level of Bruce's as far as downloads go, but it's probably number two on MLW as far as downloads go. And, you know, we're tickled with that. You know, not as many people watch the WWF as they did WCW. So we're pleased with where we are, and Tony's having a good time. And, you know, Bruce worked his way back into a wrestling job, and Tony's worked his way back into a wrestling radio show. So it's working out. Everybody's happy.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Summer has arrived.
Boom.
Are you ready to unveil your beach bod?
Not yet.
Well, you're in luck, because our friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0. Yeah. Now, we've been doing Manscaped for a while. Remember we had a thing called the 3.0?
Yeah, we had the we had the 2.0.
We had the 2.0. Yeah. Well, now we're up to the 4.0. The 4.0. Compliment your summer bod with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. The sun is shining and calling your name, fellas. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100. You know, and it's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package, right? Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Reserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer Briefs. These are fantastic. They feel like silk. They're absolutely so comfortable. And a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is insane. I dare say it's the goat of all ball trimmers. Yeah, I said it. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 400K LED spotlight on and off when needed for more precision shape. It's got the light. It's like a surgical tool almost. I mean, it literally is. It's got a light right there that like doctors like use, you know? And I mentioned the trimmer is waterproof. In the shower, in the wild, and from your chest pubes all the way down to your balls, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer for you. And you can use this to shower. It's waterproof. It's crazy. Want to take your grooming game even further to the next level? Their Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. This thing works great.
Yeah, that's an essential.
The Weed Whacker is, yeah, it's also waterproof. It has a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary blade rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trim provides proprietary skin safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. Before heading outside, use Crop Preserver ball deodorant to keep you on your game in the heat. This is excellent because I have to put on slacks for work, and the walk from the car into the building to work is rough, and you don't want to get you don't want to get smelly down there, so you use the ball deodorant. And after trimming the lawn and whacking the weeds in the heat, give your balls a boost and use a Crop Reviver. And Manscaped even throw two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0. The Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. It's perfect for travel. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. Plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. Escape the shrubs and weeds this summer and shine with Manscaped. Manscaped.com. K100.
Yo, and you know how the podcast game is. You buy Manscaped stays. We don't get paid. And then, bro, everybody shaves except for German women. Nothing. What's going on over there, D.I., that they weren't shaving? But here's the great thing about the Manscaped, because like we say, we try all our products ourselves. Bro, it's not just for your nether regions. You can use it under your arms. You can use it on your chest. You can use it on your face. You can use it on your hair. I mean, it's tremendous. You know, women can use it too. It's a tremendous product. And
I shave my head with it, and I trim my mustache with it as well to keep, because that's a big complaint of my wife's when the mustache hangs down over your lip, so I trim that.
And I wanted to say they don't mention it in the copy, but we've all received the Manscaped cologne, the refined cologne as well. And I've been wearing it. I've had friends actually go, well, you know, what is that? And I've had friends that have literally picked up their phone and ordered it as soon as they smelled it. So that's a good thing to try out, too. Check out their cologne.
So keep your shit clean. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, you know, the women are into good hygiene. So keep yourself clean. Get great, convenient, high-quality grooming products from Manscaped. Boom.
First of all, let's preface this. Yeah. First of all, don't if you're going to play a song, play a good song. Like, she's a lady. That's stupid. Okay, that's juvenile humor. It's not even that funny. All right? Why don't you play a good song this week? So when I listen to this back, I want to hear a good song as an intro to the segment. All
right. There was a good intro.
Because a lot of people, let's not deny, a lot of people on Twitter said this is their favorite part of the show.
That's true.
Right.
Okay. So you need to show respect to this part of the show.
All right. I put Staying Alive before, and then you were like, oh, I didn't hear it that week. So I go, oh, if you're not going to listen, we'll just keep the other song. Lord Cyrus.
He's on the list.
Lance Storm.
He's on the list.
Matt Maxell, Wolfgang, and Rebe Hardy.
Out of respect for Rebe, Senior Benjamin, and Wolfgang, this is Rebe's and Maxell. Yeah, I'll even include Maxell there because since they're all part Puerto Rican or Puerto right. Rican, I'm gonna take them off the list this week because of the hurricane.
That's very nice.
That's out of respect to show that I do have that they're not on the list, but Matt's
that's
on the
very
list.
Altruistic of you.
Yeah, but Matt's on the list.
I like that.
Like being married to a Puerto Rican doesn't count. Yeah, it doesn't count. He's not a blood Puerto Rican.
Right. Antonio Thomas.
He's on the list.
Southern Dandy.
He's on the list.
Shane Helms.
He's on the list. Shane Helms keeps insulting me in our group texts. And I
really?
Yes, it's very disrespectful.
Like Shark Boy, the sucker punch, or just straight up?
No, there's total sucker punches.
Okay, all right.
Would you agree with that, Joe?
100%. That was tough.
Yeah, he's sucker punching me on these text group texts, and he's
that's
forever.
He's on the list. All right.
Like discontinues it. Yeah.
Sexy Star.
She's on the list. Any fallout from that? Has she been booked anywhere?
No, because she actually had a boxing match. She actually had a boxing match on TV. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was Saturday.
How did she do?
Yeah, she got a unanimous decision.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whoever those judges, they're on the list.
How about Sexy Star's explanation?
That's on the list.
Vince Russo.
He's on the list.
Vince Russo Twitter followers.
They're on the list.
Briz Cliz.
They're on the list.
Pat Simon Diamond.
He's on the list.
Eddie Bear Ferrara and his gavel.
He's on the list. Didn't somebody question how come Ed Ferrara has not been on the podcast? It's unacceptable he hasn't been on the podcast.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Did he answer?
No, he did not.
No, he didn't respond to that. He's a jerk.
I would also like to say I did mention to him that there will be a WCW Live reunion. And I said, can you make it? And he said, probably not. Unfortunately, as my schedule has not changed.
Wow, he's got sizzly.
52 weeks a year. What a
sizzly. Okay.
He's turned into a liar, you know?
I said, it hasn't been confirmed, but probably Monday or Tuesday, early or late afternoon. Even if you could just do a quick run-in, it would be awesome. And he said, sorry, Joe. As always, the first half of the week is 100% a no for me. So there you go.
Well, can't even contribute 5 minutes.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
It sounds like he manages his time like Conan does, where Conan can't send the texts because he doesn't have time.
But at least I show up for the show. He won't even do that. Yeah. Okay, Joey Janela.
He's on the list.
Ricky Hustle.
He's on the list.
Al Leinhart.
He's on the list for giving Ricky Hustle the forum to bury me on his show.
Marty Scurll.
He's on the list.
Chris Jericho.
He's on the list. I told you. He's on the list for demands. Demands have been I've given demands.
Okay. So you want a public apology from
him? Yeah, 100%.
For seeing you were part of a soup kitchen or something, right? Or a homeless guy?
In one book, yes. He said he was going to visit me at the soup kitchen.
He called you a gimmick
also.
And the other book, he called me a dweeb.
A dweeb, right.
And then he tweeted a link to, last week he tweeted a link to the show. It didn't include me in the link.
Right.
And then this week he included me in the link and misspelled my name on purpose.
Okay. So only a public apology will suffice.
100%.
All right. Shark Boy.
He's on the list. Shark Boy wants to go on that cruise.
Jesus.
And I told him to go look at the pricing. But he wants to get booked on the cruise.
That's true.
Yeah, he wants to get booked on
the Marcus Everett.
The kid that went splat?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's on the list.
Raven.
Somebody showed me a clip. Lariat 2. Do you follow that account?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, but I've seen it. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Have you seen the spot? I guess this John Danzig guy was on the top of a van or a pickup truck or something, on top of something, a considerable height, and like power bombed a guy through a couple tables on the ground on the cement, and then they're out in a parking lot, right?
Right.
And the kid missed the table, splatted on the cement, and like popped up and like ran away, like immediately.
Like in shock, probably.
I imagine, but it looked like the most hysterical no sell in the history of professional wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know what this
is. So that spot is on the list.
Raven.
He's on the list.
FanDuel.
They're on the list. No, they're on the list. No. Why would FanDuel be on the list? I'm taking everybody's money.
Okay. The Movie Mother.
I have to see it before I put it on the list.
So you won't take Shane's recommendation that it was terrible? Okay.
No, absolutely not. I'm not taking any. First of all, there's no way I would take either of you guys' recommendation to see any movie whatsoever.
What did
okay?
I do?
I would definitely go to RottenTomatoes.com.
Well, let me just say one thing for if people missed it. Among the movies that I've seen that I would recommend is Wind River.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Logan Lucky.
Uh-huh.
It. Yes. And I know
they're
missing one.
Just so you'd stop. I don't know.
Yeah.
Your movie recommendations are now on the list.
Yeah.
Because you said, what you call it? Suicide Squad. Okay.
Yeah, I like Suicide
Squad. Yeah. Well, that movie stunk. Okay. And I don't have to see it to know it stunk. Right.
Okay. The Burning Man. Man.
We got a lot of. First of all, one of the Kevin Gill fake accounts sent Kevin Gill to New Japan Wrestling.
Yeah.
Said that I was being very disrespectful for putting the guy that burned death on the list, and he tagged at Burning Man, like the whole event in it, saying that I was being that they were trying to end up cut the show.
There was also,
and I put the heat on you that you insisted that we should put our first postmortem guy on the list. Okay, that was your idea.
The fake Dave Meltzer. The fake Dave Meltzer had a protest over it, I think.
Oh, Dane Feltzer.
Dane Feltzer.
At Dane Feltzer, yeah.
Road Dog Jail List.
Yeah, he's still in the. Oh no, the Fashion Files are back this week, so he may be. We may be getting him out of jail.
He's got a weekend pass.
Yeah, no. You know what? I got to take him out of jail because he's back on the show. Remember, they were relegated to the 205, and they went to jail. So yeah, I'm taking him out. I'm taking him out of jail, but he's still on the list.
I like that. Hashtag Firefox Road Dog.
No, that's on the list, yeah.
Okay. Sami Zayn.
He's on the list.
Mitch Valentine.
God. You keep making me put him on the list, and he keeps celebrating that he's on the list.
The referee from UFC, Michael Transbeard.
Dragon on the floor.
Disgusting.
Mario Yamazaki doing the I Love You sign before the match.
That's on the list.
Cyborg's ring entrance.
That music is definitely on the list.
Kevin Kleinrock's Triple A.
That's on the list.
Scott Tuggle's Dio Moore.
That's on the list.
Jeff Jarrett.
He's on the list.
PWG.
On the list.
Ryan Satin and Erica Steiner.
Pretty high on the list.
Okay. Independent.
Ryan Satin posted on Instagram. He's starting to work out.
Right.
And then, so Ryan Satin's workouts are on the list too.
Okay. Independent New Japan Mexican and women wrestling.
Categorically, in this order, they're on the list from bottom to top. The bottom list to top. We're going to go women's wrestling, independent wrestling, Mexican wrestling, and New Japan wrestling.
All right. Seth Rollins' knee.
It's on the list.
WWE creative.
On the list.
Kleinrock's clusterfuck system.
On the list, definitely.
And Meltzer grading system.
Still number one on the list.
And that was the end of the disco list. Boom.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Fantasy football is right around the corner, and the magazines are on the stands.
Oh, yeah.
So are you tired of the same old fantasy football leagues you hear about online that get canceled after a year or so? If that's the case, Dynasty Owner has your back. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office by incorporating a salary cap and real NFL player salaries for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. It has a whole new level of strategy to fantasy football. We think it's such a big difference maker that we hold three patents on it. So go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues for the 2021 season are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com, DynastyOwner.com. And are you worried that you won't be able to find anyone to play in your league with? Don't worry. Dynasty Owner can help you fill your league with fantasy football enthusiasts like yourself, so you won't have to worry about finding enough players. You can choose to start your own league, join a league that needs to be filled, or you can even purchase a team from a previous owner if you'd like to take that team to the championship. If you are finally serious about joining the big leagues, go to DynastyOwner.com.
Yeah, and I can say there will be a Keep It 100 league. I've already gotten in touch with the owners here. They're setting it up for us. There's also an app, so if you go to your Apple Store, you can get the Dynasty Owner app and run everything through there. So I saw some people respond already. As soon as I know where to go and all that, I'll let everybody know.
Yo, if you want to get your fantasy football thing on, hit us up. Joe's going to be on it. I believe Disco's going to be part of that. And I'm sure we're going to have some special guests from, you know, our show that people know who they are and some of the wrestlers. So check it out at Dynasty Owner. Boom. Chris, I live in a gigantic mansion and need a forklift to move my fish tank, Jericho.
He's on the list for canceling on us.
Well, I got to add to that because he was scheduled for next Monday or Tuesday, and he's postponed it a week.
Why?
And so, well, I actually have some audio here. He said he wanted to send in an audio explanation. So
okay.
I just got it. I have not listened to it yet. Let's see here.
Hey, listen, Feeny. It's Le Champion here. I just want you to tell those guys... Now, just keeping it 100 guys, that I'm not really sure I want to do the show now. I've heard all about this mole. That's apparently it's a real thing, like I told you about last week. And it's just weird. Like I said, those guys have changed a lot. I mean, Disco's always been an asshole, but kind of worried about some of the other guys involved. One of the guys' names begins with K and ends with N. He says bro a lot. I think there's kind of some issues that of me maybe doing that show. Man, I don't know. I'm really not impressed with some of the rumors I've been hearing. And, you know, as you know, you can't have a mole. You can't have some guy recording things behind your back, you know, airing things that you don't want to be aired. And of course, this is completely between you and me. Don't air this.
Oh, wait.
You know, I trust.
Should I stop? Should we keep playing this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Man, I'm going to get in more trouble.
Trust you, of course, but, I got to worry about, the guy's name begins with a K and ends with an N. And I'm pretty sure that Kleinrock's involved in it somewhere as well. So anyways, dude, keep your ear to the ground. Like I said, don't play this message for anybody. I'm really concerned about the mole, though. I don't really know what to do. So I got to kind of reevaluate things before I can come on the show. Lots at stake. There's a lot at stake. It's a big conspiracy, I think. And I think the the stealing of the AEW title belt is kind of the crux of it. But don't tell anybody that. All right. Eagle has landed.
Is he speaking in secret code to somebody there?
Does he think that we had something to do with his belt being stolen? Because if he does think that, he would have never gotten it back.
That was that was the implication there, that it's somehow tied up in the mole situation here at Keeping It 100, where he said the mole's name starts with a K and ends with an N. That could be a couple of people.
Right.
Like who? Kevin?
Could be Kevin.
Could be Conan.
Conan. That's really it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be telling on myself. I think he knows very well that being on this show takes him to another level. Just being with us takes him to another level. So I think it behooves him to come on this show. Jericho, man up. Fuck the mole. You can bury Feeney for putting this on the air after you told him not to.
Yeah.
But come on the show.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.